Well, Pastor, here we are in another exciting episode of Pulling on Heaven podcast. Thank you so much for having me here with you. Oh,
always. Thank you, Steve. We always have a great time. And you know what's fun, what you guys can't always see is when we go off the air, I mean, we do a whole new episode.
It doesn't get filmed.
It just doesn't end. The Word of God is so alive and so powerful and so prominent. I'd like to start just by praying. Open with prayer today. And
maybe we should do that more often.
You know, well, we probably should. But the words of our mouth, in direction, in alignment with the Word of God, he said he would do according to his will. So it only makes sense that we should learn to pray according to his will.
Yeah.
So things happen, right?
Amen.
Because God will bring it about, but how much does he have to do in order to get us to see what we really need, what really is going to make the difference that we're looking for and don't know so many times? So when we come together, the Word says, if any two or three agree concerning any one thing, that thing will be done. I'm going to pray today the will of God will be made manifest, and God will open the hearts and the minds of all of us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the body, so we walk more effectively, more enlightened, more alive in that body. And Father, we give you praise in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior, Lord, Redeemer, the one and only. We give you praise through whom all life comes. All things are done in and through you, of you, through you, and to you. We give you praise. We love and thank you. Lord, I pray for every viewer, everyone that listens at this podcast today, tonight, whenever they hear, God, that effective change will take place. But by the power of your Spirit, their hearts and minds would be enlightened to see and hear you speaking, and not flesh and blood, but your Spirit. And God, that you would be glorified. For it's not by might or by power, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, we pray. We thank you. Something great is going to happen today because you're great and you're greatly with your people. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That is awesome. Thank you.
Oh, you know, it feels, I think you get a sense of what it feels like. Have you ever gone fishing?
Yes.
And you know that feel on the end of the pole when it just starts bobbing. Have you ever got your hook hung up on maybe moss or a branch under the water or something?
Yeah.
And there's a difference in that getting hung up.
And that tug.
And that tug. That, that tug, tug, tug. Is the Spirit of the Lord just tugs on our hearts if we just stop trying to bottom out and get caught up in all the anxiety and the weeds and just come out and go fishing. You know, that's not just fishing for people, but fishing for the inspiration of God. Seek and you will find, knock and you'll be open, or it will be open to you. And just knowing the evidence of when we come together and pray, we move heaven and learn to look for that feel of God just heard me, because it's there. God just heard me is here.
Yes.
And if he hears, here's a great thing. The Word says if he hears, you could say he's obligated, not because of us, but by his Word, to answer. If he hears, and we know he hears, then we know we have what we ask of him. And we are confident because we know we asked according to the will of the Lord. So the beginning is enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, because that really connects us with knowing what the will of the Lord is. And if we'll pray according to the will of the Lord, whatever our needs are will be more than sufficiently met, but exceeding abundant and beyond that. So that's what we just did. We just prayed and united together in our faith that God is doing something really great today, right here, right now. It's happening around you. And you're going to see the evidence of it, because remember, everything that exists isn't visible, but it exists nonetheless, and our faith is what makes that so vibrantly alive to us and makes us aware, and that's another aspect of the glory of God. So,
wow. And I can feel it. And it's like, I'm excited. I'm excited for what God's going to say through you, through us, through this conversation today. Because, you know, we were talking before the, before we started and you had mentioned, you brought up, Ecclesiastes of there's nothing new under the sun.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah, we're just breeding. Yeah.
And that there's nothing new under the sun, but there is, I forget exactly how you said it, and you'll be able to go off on this in a second, but that there's new ways of looking at what's under the sun, both the S-U-N and the S-O-N.
Yeah.
And, you know, real fast, I'm actually reminded right now of one of the first songs I used to write, play a lot of music, write a lot of songs. One of the first songs I ever wrote was actually based on Ecclesiastes, because it was always easier to write a song if you're just using someone else's words, you know? and it was the beginning of Ecclesiastes, and the main verse was about there's nothing new under the sun. And that's so funny. I have no really other point to that, then I just think that's God just kind of reminding me of that right now.
Well, for the ease of effort, you know,
yeah, exactly. Well, and again, this idea that, you know, in life you end up going through, if not necessarily the same exact situations, but we repeatedly go through the same types of emotions, same types of things that would say this is a challenge or this is a blessing. And so while some maybe in life, in our own particular life, and this verse is talking about in everybody's lives, there's nothing new, you know, in all of history and all of everything. Right. But I think that, but so we might go through different circumstances, but our faith might get called. Our faith is always being called on.
Yeah.
You know, and he's always asking us that question of who do you see I am in the midst of this?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was just a really great way, because so much of what you're ever since I've known you, which is going on too long to actually admit at this point, you know, I've known it's all been about really the perspective of how we see things. And so much of what God has taught me through you in looking at the word in new ways, looking at life in new ways, looking at situations, looking at God in new ways. Again, not in these new, unknowable, weird ways, but in ways that so much of what life and religion and has taught us to look at things that aren't really what God's real heart is. And besides, he's so multifaceted. You know, we've talked about this before. You can open up the Bible and see the same verse and each time get something completely different out of it. Doesn't mean that God's truth has changed at all. Mm-hmm. It's just, he's so much more, and it's just the lenses through which we can see him. And so anyways, I just thought it would be a really cool platform to launch today to talk about, there's nothing new under the sun, but there's new ways to see everything that he's placed there, because as you've said so many times, that our faith sees the invisible. Yeah. And there's so much, and that's always been there. It's not that it's new, but it's been there from the beginning. So,
well, and the word see or visual, or it seems to be the key word here. And it's what we see, but it's not just what we see. It's with which eye we see it, through what lens we see it. So, you know, we think about seeing. I'm looking across the table at you, looking at the camera, looking into the viewer's eyes today. But that's with these eyes, and these eyes see, and they're necessary because these eyes help us to look for things beyond what they're capable of. And it tells us a very important thing. It says there's ways to see beyond what you're able to do on your own or seemingly on our own or with help. I mean, you know, what is it? And it's this, that when we look at things and we can want something, you can see something, you want it, and then you get it, and then you want something more, and you want something bigger, and you want something better. I've described this. You go and you buy a new car, and you're all excited about your car, and you're driving down the road, and someone else drives it beside you, and they're in an older car, and you look and go, yeah, I'm not saying that's what you should do, but you know what I'm talking about. And then, you know, someone else drives up in the same kind of car you have, and maybe it's the extended version, and maybe they have a few more bells and whistles, and now you're not, you know, when does it end? The avarice, you know, when does it stop? But it really is not just seeing, but it's how we learn to understand what we see. Mm-hmm. And then learning the power to see what is real. And all of life stems, is, comes from God the Father. Of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory, honor, and praise. And in all that, in all the grandeur, and all the greatness, and all the glory, and all we want, and all the new things we want to see, and there really isn't anything new, because everything that has been is, and everything that is has been, because God is all things. And we were talking about that Ecclesiastes, and it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8, it says, all things are full of weariness. Now, sometimes, you know, you hear Solomon talk and you're Ecclesiastes and you go, wow, what a downer here. This guy needed needed revelation here more than he had. But listen to this. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been seen is what will be. Okay? And what has been done is what will be done. I mean, is that like a mind twister? No, listen, this is what we're talking about. And there is nothing new under the sun, S-U-N. Is there anything which is or which has been said, say, see, this is new? In other words, in short, is there anything really new under the sun? And the answer is no, because God is the fullness of all things. But there is something to be seen under the S-O-N, and under the S-U-N, that you have not seen in ways you've not seen it. And in that is a new thing. Mm. Because we are the creation of God. But when we are enlightened with something to us, it becomes a new thing. Not just a nuance, but a new thing. Not just another shade of it, but something that is God, but revealed in a different vehicle, in a different vessel. Back to the seed. We use this a lot. You take a seed, you put it in the ground, a seed is a seed. But when the soil speaks to the seed, and we're the soil, and if we're out of a good heart, where it says a good consciousness, really willing the mind and the will of God, that seed produces. That's what is good soil in man, the Word of God. Word of God goes in. Because it's the Word, it doesn't mean that you're going to experience the goodness of the Word if your heart rejects the Word. It rejects that seed. Same thing with the soil. The soil is infertile soil. The seed's planted. Nothing happens. But if it is, that seed is old. As a matter of fact, every seed is older than the seed before it, because it's a seed of a seed of a seed.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's simple, right?
Totally.
So that seed that we just planted is newer than the seed that it's going to produce.
Yeah.
Okay. So the seed that comes after it is actually older, but it's still something fresh coming from that seed. So is the Word of God in you and I. There are things to be seen that have not been seen with a perspective, even though they have been around, that we have, heaven saw Jesus, and Jesus has always been with the Father.
So great.
But heaven saw Jesus in a way they'd never seen. Now, how could that be? Because God is beyond explanation, and that's life. That's eternity, and that's real, and that exists on the inside of us. So there's no new thing, and this is the point. We're trying to get something to happen that has already happened in God. It's there. Which makes it easier to get, in short. It's like you, when we started, you said they, you know, what's easy, how easy to write, you know, forbid the effort and accept the ease of what's already printed on the page.
Right.
Let's just put some lyrics and or some melody to this and,
right.
And we've got a hit song, hopefully. But it's the same thing. We have to take the effort out of the way. It doesn't mean that we don't employ strength and commitment and time and that sense of effort, but not the effort that can fail, not the effort that brings fatigue, not the effort that just says it's just so hard. I've said many times, when doing right seems too hard to do, you're doing right wrong. Something, you're seeing this in the wrong, through the wrong eye. You're looking at this incorrectly. Come to me, all you that labor, Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. You're working too hard. But what Ecclesiastes is saying is what has been done, who God is, what has been already the foundation, the reality of who he is what's going to be done. Who he is, that's what's going to happen. So if you just realize who he is in you. And look for it again. We're back to the interior. This is coming out of me. That's why doubt and discouragement and hatred and anger are such killers to the seed of promise, because it forbids the transformation of that seed, because it makes the heart bad soil, non-productive soil. It doesn't cultivate the seed. The soil speaks to the seed as much as the seed speaks to the soil. And Jesus taught us that when he said, a sower went out to sow seed, some fell by the wayside. And he said, the seed is the word of God, and the soil is you. It's your heart. So however you receive the seed actually affects the seed. So think about that. Why is God waiting so long? Why are you waiting so long? Why have we waited so long? Jesus told us, listen, I need the soil, because that's the way the Father made it. Need the soil to be receptive and be good, fertile soil for the seed. So, and that's our hearts, so we receive it. One great way to do that, stop putting everything off to the distance that you can't have it. That's doubt, unbelief. You'll never see it. Even if it's standing right beside you, if you're blinded by doubt, you'll never see what faith reveals. Wow. And so you have to believe there's no new thing I have to wait for. There's no tomorrow going to bring it to me. This is the day God has made. It may not show up in the form that you're looking for it to show up, but there is a perspective of it. It still exists, and God will open your eyes to see it. And maybe that job you're waiting for, that business, that empire, that new network, or that new open door, maybe it exists in a form you've never seen it. And part of that existence is cultivating the seed in your heart. In other words, you get the position because your mind wasn't set where it needed to be in God. You got the position, the trial came, you forgot it, you walked out, it was miserable, you wished it never happened, and it was really a blessing and you never knew it. You never got to experience it because you were that hard soil that the seed was sown on and it never took root. Simply because when that trying time came and you just said, I'm standing by faith, and you didn't see it, you wouldn't allow God, by staying the course of your faith, to cultivate that intelligence, that wisdom, that other perspective of looking at life in the way God wanted you to see it, or looking at yourself, or looking at God. So you never got the heart for that soil. So that soil became more of a disappointment to you than a blessing, all because when you couldn't see what you wanted to see, you didn't just stay the course and say, it just doesn't matter what I see. God's going to show me something that exists that's related to this right now, that's invisible to me, that I don't even know I need to see, but I'm going to see it because I spoke the word of God and it is coming to pass even now. God will open up your eyes to see things that are pertinent, that are important, that are connected to where you're going. So longevity is in what you see, and that is what makes all things work together for good come to pass in us. Then everything that comes your way, it just is like we've had trying times, we've had challenging times, that every single time I come out stronger and bigger. It seems like each time I build on a higher stone. I mean, God elevates and elevates and elevates. That doesn't come because opportunities keep coming. It comes because we take on the mind. There's no new thing. Those things that have been done, they're going to be done, and they're going to be done in me. But when they're done through me, they're going to appear with this newness, this new fragrance, this new fervor, this new insight, because it's new in me. And his mercies, his grace are new in me every day. And what it really does is it gives us a sense of spiritual, I'm going to say the spiritual intelligence. It makes you wiser. It makes you more inclined to seeing things the way they really are in the eyes of God. Why did God say all things work together for good? Why did he say no weapon formed against you would prosper? Why does the word say 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you? Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Set my affections on him. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If you die in faith, you still died in faith.
Yeah.
But you saw by the Spirit, the eyes of faith, things that transformed your minds, things that transformed your spirit, things that made you a witness, things that elevated you. Bottom line is, it's impossible to lose. when you keep the faith and realize nothing new has to happen under the sun, but new things will be revealed to me under the S-O-N and the S-U-N, both through Christ and in the earth. God's going to reveal his kingdom through me. It makes you take on the image of God. And God spoke to me one time, and he said, if you only could see the image you were created, the true image, not the image you've created,
yeah,
but the true image I've created you after, you'd be the most confident person on the planet, and everything would be possible to you. And it really changed how I saw things. I can preach today in a crowd that is as silent could be. And I've taught in little tiny crowds. I've taught in crowds of thousands. I've taught, spoken to people at the supermarket, or wherever, the barber shop, wherever you're at. And also on this, I think, some of the most opulent platforms, with some of the most prominent, and God's presence and spirit stays the same, but he bears witness no matter where you go, that it's not something new we're needing to take place. It's what he's already done. That's what's going to happen. But when it comes out of you, it's like heaven showing up in earth. It just looks so much different down here, because it's another aspect of God that can be seen only in this certain light God called humanity that live by faith. So, nothing new needs to happen. Just watching who God is unfold day after day, that is the new.
And having that confidence.
Oh, the confidence. I know in whom I have. Not a contrived confidence, not a put on, not a facade, not a garment we put on to clothe or disguise ourselves, but just the confidence. And what it does, that image, people try to protect their image, but if you protect the image of God you're created after, you don't think about you. You think less about you. You don't think about how much you were obedient or disobedient, or you did this or yeah. I mean, if somebody asked you, did you walk righteously today? Did you walk in sin today? I walked in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's like Jesus said, forgetting who you are, put on him. Don't you know, we put on Christ, the word says, put him on. And you think less about yourself, because religion says, well, we are only human and we sin every day and we. And here's this huge image we put up in the church, this idol we worship, and it's called fallen man. We were never called to do that. We were called to glorify him. Forget about who you are and what you're doing, because you are the image of God. It's no longer I. Take it to heart. No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Then you can enjoy every aspect of life that God's given us, and you don't miss a thing.
Yeah. It makes me think of Adam and Eve when they sinned. They went and hid, and God had come to them and said, where'd you go?
And who told you?
And who told you? And that's really what I think that's why God hates sin. It's that separation that's created in us. It's not like God can't look at something, it's because he came after them.
Yeah.
And so he came, died on the cross for us to remove that sense of hiding from him, to be confident in his presence. And yet, like you said, as a church, we exalt the fallen man, which is the very thing he came to eliminate.
Yeah. Now, I think sometimes people in innocence do it, thinking, well, if we just tell everybody, we're all sinners and we're all hypocrites and we're all, they'll come to church. But think about what you're saying. I mean, there's no transformation there. It's not just about being forgiven. God can forgive anybody. He forgave people in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's about transformation. That's why when Nicodemus said, who can actually enter into the presence of the kingdom of God? He said, those that are born again. Those that are not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of their mind. What does that mean? I believe not just in you, I believe you. I believe what you said. I am made in the image of God. And then the Holy Spirit begins to speak through us. The word says, if you lack the Spirit, ask God. If you lack the right perspective, the right insight, ask God to fill you with the Spirit. God, fill me with your Spirit. Speak not only to me, but speak through me. And then the word says he'll speak through you things you didn't even know to say. He'll take that place of what you were unaware of and didn't know what to do, and he'll be that for you. He'll speak that for you. That's why I said, when you can't figure it out, don't worry about it. Your faith understands. Faith is our understanding. But there is a transformation, Steve, to be had in the body of Christ, where instead of bringing people together just by making them feel like we're all just a bunch of mess-ups, just remember the scripture. All have sinned, and Christ came and removed our sin.
Yeah.
And came to destroy the works of the devil. And the word says he did it. So let's go from that point forward. And instead of trying to get people to come in by talking to them about who you are and how fallen you are, what if we just gave them vision and said, anyone can walk here. I know because I have. And if I can do it, you can do it. And we can all do it together. We can know him and know who we are in him in ways we've never known. And then bring him in those doors and then feed him the word that transforms their lives. That's who we are. And that's what we're called to do. Not to bear witnesses of where we've been or what we were or who we think we are in ourselves. But Jesus said, bear witness of me. That's where the power is that makes a difference.
Totally. And bringing that full circle, in a lot of ways, to me, at least in my readings of Ecclesiastes, that's kind of one of the points. You know, we're all of sin. We're all this. Life in general is vanity. It's misery. It's all these things repeating itself. It's nothing to change. There's nothing new. But what's his ultimate point? He says, so look to God.
Yeah.
That's his point. A lot of what the church continues to do is just kind of, you know, it's almost, let's just open up Ecclesiastes and read from that downer perspective.
Exactly.
And again, I don't think his point was ultimately to be the downer. It was like, if you want to live there, you're never going to find anything. Yeah. So it doesn't matter whether you're in the church, outside of the church, or anything, you're never going to get anywhere. Yeah. It's only when you then turn your eyes to God and make that the focus
exactly.
of what things are that anything has any value.
And that's where it is. I mean, how is it going to happen? I mean, if God just comes down and just does it, then what's the point in faith and trust and belief in us?
Yeah.
That can't do it. So God just comes and does it anyway. But when he does it through you, heaven and earth come together. Heaven and earth united. And this is how I read what he says. What has been done, what God has done, it's going to be done in you. That's what I see. What has been done is going to be done. There's nothing new that you need to look for. It's all in him. And what he's done, it's going to be manifest in you. What has been, who he is, it's going to be manifest in you.
That's cool. Because see, now we're doing that with this verse, looking at it from a new perspective. And you're absolutely right.
Because man has taken man's failures, man's inabilities, man's disabilities are removed. He's been healed. The paraplegic can now walk. The deaf can now hear. The blind can now see. The dumb can now speak. The dead are raised. You know, people are set free. That's the whole point of Christ, is that we can look and say, look at the transformation. Like the word says, these all died in faith. They believed towards that, never having seen it, but they died in faith. They didn't just die. They died in faith, and they were a word and a perspective to this generation. Mm-hmm. They were able to look at, as he's called, faithful Abraham, and say, yeah, that's a perspective for me. So what has been done, Steve, God's going to do through you. Mm. And what is, it's going to happen. What is? All things come from him. He is the fullness of all things. Who Christ is going to be manifest in you. That's where it begins, and it has no end, because it keeps going and going and going. Kind of like we do when we stop the podcast and go on for another hour.
And keep talking, because there's nothing new under the sun. Well, we started this episode with prayer.
Yeah.
I think this is a powerful word that you're talking about, and feeling that tug of God. I really think that this is speaking to people in a way. How would you like to wrap it up in that way? Do you want to pray to wrap it up?
I think you just kind of let into what we should do. Father, we give you thanks because we can. And we can because you loved us and you've chosen us in yourself, Lord, that we could know you not just as the God and just as the Savior, but as Lord our Lord, the Redeemer, the Ruler, the one that guides us, the one that keeps us, and the one that lives through us. You said, you will be my house. God, love, only the love of God, only the love you are could do that in us. I pray for your people today. I pray, Father, that in any and every situation they are in, God, they will see the side that you want them to see, that you would open their eyes to the invisible. And God, I pray that you just give them a heart of encouragement. Let them see without seeing the thing. Let them see by the eyes of faith. For it is written, we will live by faith. And God, I give you praise today. Thank you for your word. Let it just be explosive in the hearts of your people. Let it be like a volcanic eruption that just changes the terrain and turns it into something beautiful, something great, something wonderful. I pray for the rain of God to just water the seed that's been sown in the hearts of the people today and let it produce fruit unlike they've ever seen. The seed is old, but the fruit is new every day because it's just alive and it's you, God, your life, your eternity, your glory, your presence, your love, your spirit, and your power. We give you praise. We call it, it is, it has been, and it will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Oh, what a joy.
Awesome time as always. God bless. Till next time.